Good morning.
Good
to see and hear you all here. Good to see that you're visiting and enjoying one another. That's part of what our community of faith is all about, is enjoying one another. So welcome to Grace on this, what a difference a week makes, huh? Remember last Sunday it was so hot, now it's a little cool. Went for a walk last night and I noticed someone had covered up their flowers. That might be a little extreme, but I mean, if they spend a lot of money on flowers, I understand. You don't want to take a chance. I did take a chance, and I put the snow shovels away today. So I guess if something happens, it's my fault, right? So welcome to Grace on this beautiful last Sunday in June, and we're moving right into July next week. So just good to see you all here. Welcome if you're in the sanctuary, if you're out in the parking lot listening on the radio, or if you're at home taking this in online, welcome. We're glad to have you with us today. Just a few quick announcements before we get started. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 12 noon to 7:20 p.m. at night, it's picture time. We're working on our new photo directory. Now, this is not about membership. If you just attend here, the directory is just a tool. It's so people can put faces with names. There's a lot of slots open yet for the times this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so if you attend here, we would love to have you in our directory, because then, you know, someone can greet you and maybe they might forget your name or you want to look somebody up. So it's always good to put a face with a name, isn't it? And there'll be some more times in August to sign up, but there's a fair amount of slots left for this week, so take a look at that. We'd love to have you in the directory. So Wednesday at 8 o'clock in the morning, we're continuing our Bible study. We take a 15-minute break after that. We're studying the Gospel of John, and then we go to our prayer group. And so if you see a prayer card in the pew, feel free to fill that out and put it in the collection plate. That'll make its way to the prayer group, and then we will pray for that. So and then Wednesday, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., Grace Youth, that's grades 5 through 12, will meet for a meal, and then they'll work on preparing their float for the Erhard 4th of July parade, which is always a big deal. And Rena, I see you, she would like Gazette items due or in by Wednesday. So Thursday, there's an event going on here in town, a picnic in the park. That's at the Erhard City Park on June 30th. So they'll be serving free burgers and hot dogs. And there's going to be a movie at the park, too. So you can read about that in the bulletin. There's some birthdays this week, and we'll pray for you by name at the end of the service. And then next Sunday, July 3rd, it's also first Sunday of the month, so we celebrate Holy Communion. And we'll be looking forward to that at 10 a.m. Our June Mission of the Month is the Steve Anderson Benefit. Steve passed away on May 6th after a six-month battle with cancer. He's a member here, and so we're getting behind that. Contributions will go towards helping the family with their expenses. And so as you go through the line today after church to get some refreshments, and we have a lot of food that came through the door, so I hope you stay, there'll be an opportunity. There'll be a basket out, and you can give towards that Mission of the Month at that point. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who brought food and served last Sunday for our fellowship time. We had a good time. We look to repeat that again this Sunday. So those are the announcements. Anything else? Going once? Going twice? Okay. Let's take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, and we open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Wonderful to be here with you this morning, and I'd like to invite you to join in our opening song of worship, Blessed Assurance. You can find that on the screen or in the With One Voice hymnal on page 699. blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood.
Responsive reading found in the book of Psalm 30, verses 8 through 12. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy.
What is gained if I am silent, if I go down to the pit?
Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness?
Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me.
Lord, be my help.
You turned my wailing into dancing.
You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
That my heart may sing
and not be silent.
Lord, my God, I will praise you forever.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given your only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. Raise us to newness of life by your Holy Spirit, that through the power of his resurrection, we may dwell with Christ now and praise you forever. Amen. I'll ask any praise singers to join me for our response hymn titled, I Love Your Kingdom, Lord. It's hymn number 368 in the green hymnal or as seen on the screen.
I love your kingdom, Lord.
I love your kingdom, Lord. And what a kingdom it is. Made up of a king and savior and a bunch of forgiven sinners. And we connect with that kingdom truth every Sunday when we stand before our king openly and honestly and confess our sins but receive his mercy. And again, his assurance that we are citizens of this kingdom. And let's do that together right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God's kingdom promise to us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's take God at his word right now together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's good news this morning is that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
The Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 10 and 17 through 24, Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." Today's gospel reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Jesus raises a widow's son. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his They all were filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Please respond to the prayers of the church. Lord Jesus Christ, you reign as Lord on both sides of the grave. While we look for the resurrection that is to come, we also pray that those who are dead toward you today may hear your voice and awaken to life eternal. Lord, in your mercy. God of peace, we pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for peace. We pray for those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, hear the prayers of those who turn to you in their time of trial and be their refuge and strength, and to the glory of your name, their very present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks, O Lord, for seed and soil, for sunshine and showers, and above all, for life and growth from you. We pray for seasonable weather, that the earth may yield its fruits to your honor and glory, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church, wrongfully imprisoned and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy.
Thank you, Phyllis. I think we heard a theme in those scriptures listed in the lectionary for this third Sunday after Pentecost, a theme of from death to life. And as that first prayer that we prayed said, not only on both sides of the grave, but the Lord has the power through the gospel to raise us to life eternal. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that from the book of Galatians. But before we get there, it's time to stand up, stretch your legs, and in whatever way seems appropriate to you, to greet your neighbor. Jim. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you. Good to see you guys in church together. And I know that's been a part of your relationship from the very beginning, and I think that's really awesome. That's the best foundation. Thank you.
called Lord, I Need You. Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I'd fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Teach my song to rise to you. When sorrow comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And Lord,
Amy. Well, kids, it's that time. I'm going to invite you up front for a message just for you. And I see Daisha's up here with the fruit snacks, so it'll be good all the way around, hopefully. All right. Good to see you all. Well, what a change. Remember last Sunday how hot it was? It was even kind of hot yesterday. You know, I cut my lawn yesterday, and when I got done, I was really thirsty for lemonade. Do you guys like lemonade? Yeah, it's really good. How about if we make some lemonade? We'll put some water in here, and then we'll add a drop of this or two. Okay. There, you can see it's yellow now, just like lemonade. So, What, you don't think that's lemonade? No? Really? It's yellow, kind of. It's really yellow, actually. It looks unnaturally yellow. That's kind of fake, isn't it? Because actually, this is just food coloring, isn't it? That's not really going to change anything. What would we need for real lemonade? We would need a lemon. Maybe like this. Okay, would you hold that up so everybody can see that that's a real lemonade? There's a lot of moving parts to this part of the sermon illustration. So we're going to make, what else would we need? Maybe some sugar. Anybody out there? Give that guy a fruit snack. All right. So, all right. So we'll take the lemon, if you want to give me that, and we'll cut it. Okay. That's a real lemon, and then we're going to get the juice out of it, right? Were you ready for this today when you came to church? Help Pastor Brad make lemonade? All right. All right, so we'll get the juice out of there. All right. And now, look at there. So now we'll add some water into here. And then we'll put the lemon juice in there. Okay, and now comes the sugar. Think that's enough sugar? You think so? Maybe a little bit more? No? Oh, these kids are raised right. They're like, that's enough sugar. All right. Do you want to try this? See if it's real lemonade? All right, we'll stir it up a little bit more. You tell me if it needs more sugar. All right, let's try that. It needs more sugar. Because that's a whole lemon in there. So it's really lemonade. But wouldn't that be, that would quench your thirst on a hot day, wouldn't it? All right, so let's see it. Let's try it now. All right, that's good. Real lemonade. So what's the difference here? We're going to talk about this today. Today in our Bible reading, there were some people that accused the Apostle Paul of not preaching right. They said he didn't really know the way to God. And Paul said, I beg to differ because I really met Jesus, and Jesus gave me the real gospel, the good news about him. And so today, when we hear Paul, he's going to remind us that the gospel, the good news that God loves us and sent his son to die for us and forgive us, that's the real deal, okay? And Paul had met the real Jesus, just like we made real lemonade, because we had real lemons and real sugar. So let's pray, shall we? Lord God, we thank you that you have given us the real gospel, the real way of knowing you. And it's not through anything we might fake. We can't fake anything with you. You know that we're sinners, but you sent your son to live for us and to die for us and to rise for us. And you've given us real forgiveness. This is real. And we praise and thank you. Amen. All right, let's give these kids a hand. Thank you for coming up. Today we're going to talk about change. It can be hard, can it? Change. But let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the change that you bring to our lives. And we thank you that it's your work, not ours. So open our ears that we may hear your gospel today. Amen. Well, I think a thing to talk about first is a popular trend in interpersonal studies, interpersonal relationships, specifically getting to what we might say is the real me, okay? A popular trend in these studies is to be genuine about ourselves with others. This comes from a reflective journey into our background and experiences that we might come to know ourselves and who we are and why do I react to certain things. This journey into self is aimed at self-awareness and self-acceptance. It can be very healthy and productive for our human relationships. But when this is done in our relationship with God, we find that the distance between us cannot be bridged by our self-awareness alone. God must actually change our identity to complete us. Today, as we continue our series in Galatians, we will hear Paul, once a Pharisee named Saul, tell us about the new identity he received from God. Specifically, in Paul's letter to the Galatians, we see that Paul, the Jewish Pharisee, was given a new identity as a forgiven child of God and called to be Christ's apostle to the Gentiles. And I just love, God's got a sense of humor. He takes this hardcore Jewish Pharisee and says, Paul, you're going to preach to the non-Jews. I love it. He might have said, what? I'm really equipped to go to Jews. I mean, I know the system, but we'll see clearly now the method behind God's madness. God is reckless with his grace. Paul then founded churches in the region of Galatia, preaching salvation by God's grace alone in Jesus Christ. Paul had lived a life of a Pharisee. He had tried to earn his way to God by works, and so when he proclaimed the gospel, he knew to leave that stuff out. So salvation in Christ alone, Paul was adamant about this because he knew the other side of this, adding something to Jesus, it just wouldn't work. So he preached Christ alone without performing any human works of obedience. Jesus alone, Christ alone. Now, Paul wrote this letter to correct an error that Jewish teachers had then introduced into the churches he planted on the Christ alone gospel. And basically, this error was this: Christ alone was not enough, but must be supplemented by obedience to Jewish traditional law, like dietary stuff and circumcision and some of the rituals and festivals. And Paul knew well from his background that Jesus plus something equals nothing. It won't bring you any assurance. It won't bring you into the peace of God. Because anything that I add of myself into this will ruin it, okay? God is holy. We are not. So if we add into what he's done, we contaminate it. And we lose the assurance because we'll never be sure that what we add into is going to be accepted by God. Now, Luther understood this better than most because he walked a similar journey. He wasn't a Pharisee, but he became a monk and tried to earn his way into God's favor. And he wrote this in his commentary on Galatians: the world bears the gospel a grudge because the gospel condemns the religious wisdom of the world. We teach that all people are naturally depraved. We condemn humanity's free will, its strength, wisdom, and righteousness. We say there is no good in us to deserve God's grace. We say that we obtain grace by the free mercy of God alone for Christ's sake. This is not preaching to please people. This sort of preaching procures for us the hatred and disfavor of the world. Now, the particular conflict that Paul will speak about in today's text, Galatians 1, 11 through 24, is an attack that was launched on his person, and this is called ad hominem, at the man. So if you don't like the message, you attack the person. This is popular in politics today, right? Just smear the person. And this is what these Jewish teachers did to Paul. They said, well, you know, he got this crazy idea from other people. And so, you know, you can see here the chart here, the ad hominem fallacy. Ignore the true argument. attack the arguer instead, make the arguer look bad, claim victory over the argument, and then do a victory dance. So now Paul addresses this ad hominem attack. And the false teachers had attacked Paul's credibility and then linked Paul's credibility to the credibility of the gospel of grace that he had preached. So Paul turns to his own personal testimony to explain the origin of the gospel that he preached. And actually, in kind of a neat way, their ad hominem attack on him opened the door for Paul's exposition of the power of the gospel to bring real change. The power of this Christ alone gospel to effect change. Why? Because it changed him, this hardcore Pharisee, locked into earning his way to God, and Paul was just delivered, and he was really happy to talk about it. So thank you guys for attacking me. Let's talk about me a little bit. So it's instructive at this point to hear Paul's later summation of his move from trusting his own efforts to trusting in Christ alone. This is what he wrote in Philippians chapter 3. If someone thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which won't ever cut it, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The beautiful doctrine of justification by faith, the treasure of the church, is that God clothes us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God looks at you as a believer in Jesus, he doesn't just see a forgiven sinner. He sees someone that lived the perfect sinless life of Jesus Christ. Still blows my mind. I've got 2 graduate degrees in theology. Still can't get my head wrapped around it, but that's what Scripture teaches. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. It's called the Great Exchange, 2 Corinthians 5. We gave Jesus our sin. He gave us his righteousness. So in other words, Paul is going to explain to us that this real change that happened to him is faked. No more than we can change water into lemonade by putting food coloring in it. Just doesn't work that way. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24, the gospel that changed Paul. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, in what I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But only they kept hearing, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they were glorifying God because of me. The word of the Lord. What a drastic change in someone's life. You see, this is the change that comes through Christ. Paul's explanation of the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ is, first of all, look, it's not from a human being. I didn't get this from somebody. It comes directly from God. I received it as a direct revelation from Jesus Christ. That's what made him an apostle, a sent one by Jesus Christ. And it brings God's change into a person's life. In the same capacity as we heard in our first two readings, God has the power to raise someone from physical death. He has the power and ability to raise us from spiritual death. That's what the gospel does. Paul's personal experience of God's drastic change in his life bears witness to this fact. I mean, what greater change could you bring to someone than someone who was actively hunting down Christians and persecuting them? Remember, he held the coats for the people that stoned Stephen, the first martyr. He approved of it. And then all of a sudden, he's preaching the very gospel of Jesus Christ. So the illustration of Paul's former life, he tells us this quite clearly. He was enslaved and driven by the demands of God's law in his attempt to earn God's acceptance. Paul's slavery to the law led him into conflict with God as his life was dominated by the I. We heard it. I persecuted. I tried to destroy. I was advancing in Judaism beyond all of my contemporaries. Makes me think of Luther also. He had a similar journey dominated by the I. And I love what Luther says about his former legalistic life when he was a monk trying to earn his way to God. This is what he writes in his commentary on Galatians. He said, I actually crucified Christ daily in my cloistered life. I blasphemed God by my wrong faith. Outwardly, I kept myself chaste, poor, and obedient. I was given to fasting, watching, praying, saying of masses and the like, yet under the cloak of my outward respectability, I continually mistrusted, doubted, feared, hated, and blasphemed God. My righteousness was a filthy puddle. Luther never got any peace from trying to earn his way into God's favor. He actually ended up hating God until he discovered the gospel. Romans 1:17, faith is what makes us righteous. The righteous shall live by faith, a quote from Habakkuk 2:4. So Paul then tells us about his encounter with Christ and trusting in him alone. Paul's I-dominated life changed to a Christ-centered life of forgiveness and purpose. Notice the pronouns, the shift. He set me apart. He called me. He revealed to me. Paul's life was radically changed. It could not have been faked. I mean, he was hunted down by the people that he used to be allied with. They wanted him dead. And I love the way Paul concludes his testimony here. He who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. What a change. We can hear the same radical change in Luther's experience of God's one-way grace. Luther's grace alone life sounds like this. The gospel is true because it deprives men of all glory, wisdom, and righteousness, and turns over all honor to the Creator alone. it is safer to attribute too much glory to God than unto man. Luther knew, if I mix myself into this gospel even a little bit, I ruin it. It's got to be Christ alone. God gets all the glory, we get all the assurance. And it is and has to be the same way with each one of us. Yes, God brings the same true change to us in Christ. Because this side of heaven, we are all a work in progress. God brings change by His grace in Christ. He is with us in the midst of this work because He is a living Savior. By His love proven at the cross, He replaces our fear with His confidence. We are motivated by love, not driven by slavery and fear. Christ's change in us is always for the better. Sometimes it happens very quickly. Other times it happens really slowly because we can be rather stubborn. And God continues to love us and forgive us. And His change comes. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I do not and will not trust in my love for You, but only in Your love for me. I love You, Jesus, because You first loved me and gave Yourself as a sacrifice, as a judgment-exhausting reconciliation for my sins. And now it is impossible for You to love me more than You do right now, and You are committed to never loving me less. Holy Spirit, breathe upon the embers of my heart and rekindle the love I first had for Jesus when the gospel of grace was first applied to my heart. Preach the gospel to my heart today, right now, as though it were the very first time. I pray in Jesus' kind and powerful name. Amen. A prayer by Scotty Smith. As we respond to God's good word, I invite you to sing together, "Guide Me, Ever Great Redeemer," hymn number 343 in the Green Hymnal.
Through this barren world.
seated. This morning, as is our custom, we pray for those who celebrate birthdays this week, but we also bring to God our own hearts, the real us. And let's do that right now. Lord God, we thank you and praise you for these church members. We ask your blessing upon Liza Bennett, Eric Ripley, Troy Milbeck, Cadence Norgren, Chase Winkles, Stacy Carlson, Casey Clark, and Brad Bilden. Lord, may each of these, as they celebrate birthdays this week, know of your love, your goodness, and your grace. Lord, we live in a fallen world. Things are oftentimes not right the way they should be. Each of us has struggles, conflicts, and we lift our own hearts up to you, Lord, just as they are, because you know us better than we know ourselves. And in this moment of silence, Lord, we lift our own hearts up to you, the real us. Lord, we pray that you would wrap your arms around us, grant us the assurance of the forgiveness of all of our sins, that your love for us is unconditional, and the future we have in you is sure. Grant us faith to trust you every day. And we pray now the prayer that you yourself have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I'd like you to stand as you're able and join in singing our closing song today. We're singing Take My Life and Let It Be, but it's a different tune than we typically sing here at Grace, so it might be a little challenge, but you'll catch on. So let's sing together Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be.
Oh, you know it.
Consecrated, Lord, to take my hands and let them move, heavy in of thy love, heavy in of thy love.
been good to gather together today. Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us and adding to this beautiful fellowship. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord put his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord. Thanks be to God.